What do you do if you're a man walking on the street and Montana yells out at you, "Hey, Ninja Turtle, bread"?
I don't think that's the correct verbiage.
It's pretty close.
It is pretty close.
In a court of law, I would not be libeling you right now.
It's close enough. Yeah.
So Montana Samuels, Mike Bonner here. This is The Bubble, and we were in Providence for PBD Fest two weekends ago.
Yeah, it would have been 2 weekends ago, yeah.
And during this, we were there a long, long part of the day. So we were just sitting down, relaxing outside of a bakery, and this guy comes out and says, "Does anyone want any free baguettes?" And he happened to have a Ninja Turtle shell backpack. And Montana tries to flag him down literally by just saying, "Hey, Ninja Turtle.
Turtle man."
I'm not even sure you said man.
Turtle.
I don't even think you acknowledged that he was a human, that he was a Homo sapien.
Hey, turtle.
Just a turtle.
Yeah.
Well, Ninja Turtle. Yeah. Not just a normal turtle, a Ninja Turtle, but...
They like pizza.
Not baguettes, apparently.
Yeah, they've completely shifted the plot point.
I was then tasked at trying to get... Montana's effort in this was Ninja Turtle.
That's all I... Yeah.
Just, I had to get up and try to get the actual baguette. And
worth
at this
noting,
point,
you were apt. It's not like you were trying, like, "Oh man, I don't really want to go chase down this baguette." Like, you were willing.
There were a bunch of people.
There were a few people, yeah.
That were invested in me getting this baguette. So I went out and got it, and I was unfortunately too slow at the first attempt.
Yeah, he had to go back.
The guy went back and got seconds, and we did get a baguette, which then the group of people we were with did not really eat either. We all had like a couple bites, and then we had...
Well, I mean, it's a whole baguette. Right? We only had...
What did you think when he was handing them out?
I didn't know we were going to get three baguettes.
We got one.
No, it was it? We definitely got at least two.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That makes me feel a little bit better of our just bread that was hanging out.
I mean, it was a lot of bread.
The woman next to us was just throwing it in the air.
That was too much.
It was like a baton for her.
Yeah. It was weird. Like, it was like she was trying to get an Instagram photo out of it, but she was just waiting on someone to take it that never ended up taking it.
A boomerang.
A boomerang, perhaps, yeah. Maybe a video. Shug on live. Instagram live.
Facebook live. Just could have said, "Look at my baguette," and twirl it around, and there you go. We would have been in the background.
Yeah, we would have.
You can see this picture of Montana eating our baguettes on Twitter. I believe I retweeted it, so.
Yeah. You don't have to go look at it.
DMs are closed, but I believe Montana's are open. See how I flipped that on you finally?
Yeah. Just the only DMs I ever get are from friends sending me weird videos and then like obscure Atlanta rap groups who are like, "Can you review my mixtape for Creative Loafing?" And I'm like, I haven't written anything for them in a long time.
What is it again? Penned by Montana? Just... DMs are open.
Don't send me a link to your SoundCloud.
Find
please.
Montana and just say, "Hey, Ninja Turtle." That's it.
That would be pretty funny, actually. I'm on board with that. Fully on board with that.
So we toured Providence, and it was... So I grew up in the Worcester area, and in the mid to late 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, mm-hmm. around there, we never went to Providence. It was never a thing to go, and it was like Boston and or just local Worcester, Millbury type of thing. So this is my first time in this area of Providence. Since then, I'm working here. I've gone to like Brown's campus and walked around downtown, the Riverwalk and such. But I was unaware of all of the restaurants and just craft and culture and such. I was really impressed.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was kind of... for people who aren't familiar with PVD Fest, I believe it's the third year, I was told. And it's basically a lot of... So, Westminster Street and Washington Street, almost like the Kennedy Plaza, are where it takes place. And Westminster Street is more of the celebration of the arts and craft side of Providence vendors. And then there's food within Kennedy Plaza. And the important thing to remember about Providence is the food scene is basically that's the point of the city. So if you go there, you're going there to eat. There's Federal Hill. There's a bunch of like farm to table, like craft, small plate restaurants. And that's always my favorite part.
We went to eat.
Food. We went to eat. There was a man making risotto within a cheese wheel. That was pretty special.
Frenzy Fries was my first experience.
Frisky Fries.
Frisky Fries.
Frisky Fries. Get it right, Mike.
That's why you're here. You're just here.
I'm just here to fact check, Mike.
Well, yeah, and partially. It was funny because that was what the tour, that was what the day was I was just following your lead.
Yeah. What, Bucktown?
Yes.
Give a good, big shout out to Bucktown. That's a... If you like fried chicken, like if you're from, I'm from the Midwest. Mike lived in the South for a good amount of time. If you need a little bit of soul food, a little bit of fried chicken, Bucktown's the place.
And I'm really excited to visit because we had the booth and you said it was good and it was really good. But you said actually in person, they took it up a notch, it felt
like. Yeah, definitely. And then
which is to be expected, I feel like, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really cool day. I think Providence is a really interesting city to me just because it is sort of in this perpetual state of trying to reach the next level above. So Providence, like a lot of cities, the factory industry just disappeared, which kind of changed the city. And now it's sort of coming up through the more craft, handmade type of industry that's booming within certain areas of the country, which are often susceptible to gentrification. So I think Providence currently is like a breeding ground for places that want to move to Boston. That's some of the business owners I've talked to. That's like why they go to Providence first. And I think you're seeing the city take steps to try to make it an entity of its own rather than like a breeding ground for cool stuff that moves to Boston. And that with PVD Fest, I think it highlighted that where there's just so many small restaurants and vendors and artists who are making the city pretty special.
Yeah, I'm really appreciative of the invite. I didn't even know it was happening until you extended the invite. And I think the cool aspect was you can do things that you can't necessarily. So for people like me that really didn't know about the city, you get to experience a lot of it in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And the cool aspect for someone who knows the city, which I have great tour guides, we could have Frisky fries with Buckhead.
Bucktown.
I'm just...
Oh my God. Buckhead. We're taking it to Atlanta one time.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I said it, because I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's got it. Yeah. No,
Bucktown.
It was cool. Those.
So that's like, when else could you... Because in a normal day, you couldn't do that.
Sure.
You know, you'd pick one restaurant and go from there. So I think if you have a bunch of favorites, you can be like, oh man, I can have a side of this with a side of that, and... Oh, it's heaven.
Yeah, and it kind of brings the different neighborhoods and parts of the city together, which is always really cool. I think that's the benefit to a Providence when you... It almost just... I often, like, when I have friends from New York come in, I describe it as, like, it's like one of the boroughs, almost. It's like, rather than it trying to explain it, like, well, this neighborhood's like Brooklyn, and this neighborhood's like Queens. It's just like, well, just take one of them, and that's about, like, the size of it. But, yeah, I thought it was pretty interesting. Mike... One of my non-highlights was Mike almost ruining one of the better polo collections I've ever seen by spilling his drink all over the inside of a, what was it? It was like a truck?
Trailer. A trailer.
Yeah. But you didn't, and they were actually really nice. The interesting thing was they were more upset for you than at you.
Yeah, they were, so I spilled my drink in this... It was a trailer that had all thrift.
It was like a vintage vintage store.
And of course, Mac was with us because why wouldn't he be?
Yeah,
and he like pulled the leash, and at that, not to blame it on Mac,
that's what dogs are for.
But he contributed to this. I should have been holding my drink stronger, anyways. But then it like slipped and fell, and I looked at you like, "What do we do now?" Like,
right.
And the woman's who was in control of all this, she was like, oh, no problem. She like was there in 2 seconds and wiped it up. And then she was telling me about how someone who had done a similar thing just walked away. And the thing that I was left with was how. Because she saw it so quickly that even if I wanted to do that,
there would have been no opportunity.
But I saw that. And I was like, where do you have a towel? What can we?
Yeah.
That was my first inclination, is how do I clean this up rather than ask someone to clean it up for me? But she refused to get my help, and I felt terrible.
That would, to me, the polo collection was really great, but this brings up another thing that we wanted to touch on, a couple of things we saw that really baffled us, right?
Oh.
I'm going to let you, we both feel passionate about this, but I'm going to let you handle it.
See, I think, yeah, see, this is where, Montana, now we're getting a connection here, a rapport, I guess. Yeah,
our rapport. So, after 21 episodes, we finally understand.
In Montana knows once I kind of have a button that's pushed, I get more animated than you. Yeah. I think that's why you're letting me take this.
Yeah.
Because this happened to us, and it crossed my mind immediately.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't say anything, and then you said it.
Yeah.
There were these two, like, joggers.
It was like a father-son duo.
And they ran by us in this massive crowd, and I immediately thought, what are they doing? Like, why are you running? I understand. I run, too.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, do your thing. But why are you running through a crowd? Like, that just doesn't seem... And I was just going to let it go because I thought I was a crazy person and no one else noticed this. But it was this stepbrother's moment of, do we just become best friends? Where Montana's like, what is that? What is their problem? And I'm like, right, exactly. What are they doing? For people, I'm just trying to picture, like, so I've been to... a bunch of the sports parades when a team wins.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't packed to capacity yet. Now, at night, I was surprised. It was getting very crowded. But picture like an hour or so before the parade is about to begin,
mm-hmm.
that type of crowd, that type of congestion, and then just a jogger being like, me and my dad are going to run through this scenario just because.
Right.
And it's a huge city. It's a big city.
It's a
big area.
Yeah, it's a big area, yeah. A lot of people crowded in there.
But what I'm saying is you can run by Brown's campus, you could run, there are other places to run in Providence, more than like the big area, meaning that what PBD was taking up. There was a very small area, relatively speaking, to, I understand why someone would want
like
to run
there. It was like three downtown blocks.
Yeah, it's a great area to run by, but not when there's PBD going on.
Right. Well, and I'm just always curious of the impetus behind that, where it's like at what point have you made the commitment and it's too far gone for you to turn around?
The only thing that these people would get a pass on is if neither of them wanted to say something, where they were just like, well, I'm assuming this person wants to keep going. This is clearly absurd, but I want to be that guy that ruins it. And then the other person's thinking the same thing, and they do this entire process, and then it isn't until they finish where they both share how weird and complicated that actually was. But as you brought up, being the father-son duo that it was,
you would think
that's a little less.
Yeah. My thing is, it's not even so much like, it's not like something that like hits me in the face where I'm like, oh my God, like what are you doing? You're like obstructing so many people's way. But you are like running through and like...
There was enough room for them to do it. It was just more like, why do you choose to run here?
Yeah. There's like a lot of elements. Maybe it's an uncomfortability thing for me where I'm just like, I would never let that many people see me run.
And it would be to me because I would be afraid of this exact thing happening.
Yeah.
Somebody seeing me... And being like, what is that idiot doing?
What do you do? Like,
and now they have a podcast, and now people are talking
about it. Yeah, now, good thing we don't know their names. We wouldn't have said that.
I don't think I would have said their names anyways. We all do
weird
things.
If I was your friend,
things.
I would have said your name. But I don't know those guys. I don't know those
dudes. It's true.
Yeah, don't do it. Just don't. It's like that simple. I don't even care if it's like a farmer's market, dude. Like, don't jog through it.
Even if this is your daily routine of... or your weekend routine to run through this area, at some point you got to say, let's abandon ship
and
go somewhere else.
Rather, if you're jogging through Kennedy Plaza on a daily basis, like that's an interesting route in and of itself. Like where the buses come through,
that's where you choose to jog.
You're like mile 2.5 in, you're just breathing heavily through your mouth, and it's just gas fumes. I don't know. I got to talk to that guy. If you're that guy, like Mike said, my DMs are open.
Just respond and say, hey, Ninja Turtle.
Want to
go for a run?
But one of your highlights, much to like how I'm interested in polo, even though I can't afford it and don't have hardly any polo in my collection anymore, vintage basketball jerseys.
There was actually, thankfully, I did not spill my drink in the thrift vehicle that had a Doug Flutie jersey in it.
Oh, that was a good, that was a good jersey.
And I had a nice conversation about the woman who was running it, because she said a number of people thought that it was like a Redskins jersey or something.
Yeah.
And you can vouch. I was like, I think that's a Flutie jersey.
Yeah, no, you called it out.
Called it right out. Yeah, so I went to this, I believe it's called the Arcade. I've screwed up every other name. Yeah,
so the Arcade is the structure of the building on Westminster Street that, for those familiar with Providence, the one that encompasses like New Harvest, Coffee Bakery. There's a bunch of vintage stores in there.
And there was a vintage store, more of like of an athletic. So it had like some Jordans, I think the 11s were there, mm-hmm. and had a bunch of Champion throwback jerseys. And it got me thinking, Montana.
Yeah.
I need two vintage basketball jerseys that you would own. A star and a role player.
Okay. A star and a role player. So you know what? I'm going to try... Just because the one you saw, so I don't want to say the one that you saw as
the one
choice.
I saw. So the one I saw, I'll just go. I'll let you kind of formulate.
Yeah, yeah. No,
there
I've
was a
I've
Paul
got
Pierce
them.
Celtics one. There was, and these were all champions. So for, of the basketball jersey heads, so to speak,
right.
Champion really stopped producing the jerseys in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Then you know Nike, Reebok, and Adidas took over, and it was all like the swingman jerseys. But yep. These are all screen printed, really light.
Yeah.
The fact that they're still around.
Like the Bulls Jordan jerseys. Those are all Champion. Right?
Well, the ones that, like the non-authentics, yeah.
Right.
And then
even
some of the authentics. But there was an Allen Iverson.
Yeah, and see, that's what I personally,
that's a good one.
Well, so the one you saw was the Kevin Garnett one.
Kevin Garnett, Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, was it black or green?
Black.
Black. See, that's a good
one. That's a good one.
That would be the one I always point to, but because you said it, I'm not going to say
okay,
that.
Okay, that's fair.
I don't know if this one is Champion. In fact, I don't think it is, but I want the Tracy McGrady, the blue Orlando with the stars on it. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. That would probably be around Adidas, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think it's Champion, but that's the one, just because the Kevin Garnett was already taken.
And I'm going to switch. Well, okay, this is a star. Originally, I was going to say Vince Carter.
Right.
Raptors jersey, but I'm going to go even go down a level and say Marcus Camby.
Denver?
Toronto Raptors.
Whoa.
I love that jersey, but I'm going to go with the UMass grad.
Okay.
Marcus Camby.
Quick aside, I saw a photo. So Nas and Jay-Z both dropped Jay-Z with Beyonce,
obviously.
The Denver
Nuggets one would be good, too. The city one, but sorry.
Yeah, that would be a really good one. I saw someone put Jay-Z and Nas rapping in 2018, and it was a photo of Hakeem Olajuwon playing for the Raptors. And, oh my God, who was the other person in the photo? I'm totally blanking. I'll try to find it. But it was like just two washed up big men like at the very end of their careers on teams that like they should never have been on. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen. But to answer, so your other question was who's the like kind of the glue guy, like more obscure?
Obscure. I think that's the term. Yeah. More obscure throwback.
Yeah. So who is yours as I find out?
I went with, you know, the Vince Carter.
Patrick Ewing, Orlando Magic.
Okay.
There it is. That was the other player.
Ewing coached the Magic, I believe.
Yeah, he did.
He did,
yeah.
And then he went to Georgetown. But anyways, so I think I'm going to go with... now I'm thinking in my head about stuff like the Larry Johnson, Charlotte jerseys.
See,
like,
I didn't know if that counted.
Yeah.
I don't think those count. Because like Sean Kemp, obviously, as well. Like I don't really know if those count.
I'm going to go with Detlef Schrempf of the Supersonics.
Okay. I actually did. So the one I was thinking of that I alluded to before we started recording was Doug Christie, Sacramento Kings, but that's not the one I want.
Okay, so you're flipping on it. All right.
I want Muggsy.
From Charlotte?
Yep.
All right.
Muggsy Bogues. Shout out to Space Jam.
See, I was going to say, now I think you're gone. That's not really obscure. If you're a character on Space Jam, you can't really be that obscure.
Do I need to go more obscure
go
than Muggsy?
More obscure. He's in Space Jam.
Yeah, but he wasn't a superstar. He was just the shortest player. Oh, my God. Earl Boynkins.
That's bad. Okay.
That's who I want. Okay. Earl Boynkins. I love
Spud
the short
Webb.
Guys.
How about a Spud Webb Hawks jersey?
Spud Webb's even less obscure than Muggsy Bogues.
He probably is, but at least
he's
not in Space
contest.
Jam.
Yeah, but he like truly won a... He
it's
was
true.
Like a...
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah. I know.
Come on.
I would... Yeah. Muggsy Bogues was pretty...
He's
mainstream.
Popular, but he wasn't a superstar. Like, if you saw a guy in a Muggsy Bogues jersey, you'd be like, oh, my God. That guy's a... You know what?
Same if I saw a Spud Webb jersey.
You know what jersey I did have as a kid. It was a throwback, but he was playing at the time. It was like the great, like no one should have ever bought this jersey, but I bought it. Mike Bibby.
Did you see Mike Bibby's Instagram?
Yeah, that guy's, oh my God.
And then
Gabrielle Union, is that what you're going to bring up?
No, I was actually, if you click on his actual account, he's like a huge sneakerhead.
Oh, Mike Bibby. Yeah, he was a Jordan guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, and so yeah, he just recently posted like all of it in his shoes. They have to go up like,
yeah.
I don't know. I should have just counted and estimated, but it goes up like at least 20 feet.
Yeah.
It looks like, because you can't see the top of his shoes. It's
right. The high school crazy. Team that he coaches, this is like so obscure at this point, but like the high school team that he coaches would seriously have been my nightmare to play against as a youth. It's just like, imagine like Press Virginia, the Bob Huggins West Virginia teams, at a high school level with just super athletes across. Like, seriously, I can't remember the main guy. Javon Han? No. That's a UCLA guy. The main guy on their team committed to Arizona State, and I think he averaged, like, 9 steals a game. It was insane. Dude, it's just, like, watching this, like, unit of, like, 9 fresh-leg guys manhandle bad basketball players, and that's my worst nightmare. Just
speaking of bad basketball players...
Yeah,
because there's no other reason. I'm not even going to ask. I'm just going to assume that you brought that story up because you wanted to segue into ours. Don't tell me the truth. Don't tell me the truth. Don't tell our viewers the truth that you just brought up Mike Bibby's obscure high school basketball team.
Yeah,
but you're so talented at what you do that you brought that up because we're talking about.
I just
basketball
have that
players.
Depth of knowledge.
Is so 2 weekends ago, we're in Providence. We're looking at basketball jerseys, and then last weekend in Fairhaven, we're playing basketball, and everyone has heard of the Splash Brothers, and I have come up with our own nickname of the Bubble Brothers. Actually, I don't think it was me who came up with it. I don't know who came up with
it. The Bubble Boys.
Was that what we called it?
Yeah, but I like Brothers better.
Oh, then it was me who came up with the Bubble Brothers.
I came up with Bubble Boys because of that terrible 90s movie.
Yeah.
I just thought it'd be hilarious.
I went with the Bubble Brothers playing off of Clay and Steph. And actually, you've got a little Steph in you in terms
shooting
from the range.
Played, sure, yeah.
I mean, well, I just in general. Well that was Steph, but more you have the range.
I can pull.
You
yeah.
like shooting that far. Now, well, whether it goes in
well,
is a different story. In but
game,
you do like,
it never goes in. I can show off a little bit.
We went, what, 2-1, 1-2? 2-1?
When we played together?
Yeah.
We won 2 in a row at one point, I think.
So, and I'm actually most proud of our last game where we were playing the Dynasty. And we gave them a run for their money. That's
we did.
That's our motto. We gave them a run for.
Yeah.
We didn't win, but we sure tried really hard.
It wasn't pretty. It worth in my defense, I don't think I've shot a basketball in about a year.
That's all right.
And I also don't have it. I've left my basketball shoes. At my parents' house in Kansas. I was wearing those Pharrell.
That's the best part. I can't believe I almost forgot.
I don't
that.
Even know what those shoes are called.
I don't
They're
know
just
either.
Like the Pharrell Adidas. It's basically a sock. And this week, before we go play our next game, I'm going to go buy a pair of basketball shoes because I nearly like killed. I gave myself blisters on my feet. I almost broke my ankle, my own ankle. It was no good.
I rolled an ankle and I came back up.
Mike did roll an ankle, so maybe
came
I did.
Back and won. And I'm trying to think of the shoes. I was wearing the KDs, but I can't remember which ones they were. They just retroed them.
It was the Thunder colorway with the strap.
Right, but they were the 6
four?
Or the 7s.
Oh, it was?
Oh, no, you're probably right.
I think
no,
it was the 4.
Yeah, you're right. I'm thinking way too far in advance. Because, yeah, they just retroed them. Like, they just...
Did they really?
Just came back with them, yes.
They probably don't need to retro the old
no,
KDs.
No, they don't need to... Yeah, they don't need to retro the KDs at all. Because they just started with the LeBrons, and those are doing pretty...
I also am like struggling to think of like a KD. There's like one model of KD that I really like, and I'm kind of blanking
the ones
on.
That I have are the model that I like.
It's
and
the one
I want the
those,
Ant Pearl of those.
Oh, okay. See, I was thinking the gold ones of the model. I'm pretty sure it's a 4. The Ant Pearl 4s are cool. If I'm remembering correctly,
no, but the 7s.
The
Ant Pearl 7s. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Maybe I'm thinking of a different one.
Okay.
That I have.
The basketball shoe I'm actually really excited about, and this is just purely to play, and I don't think I could ever wear them outside of playing, are the new LeBrons. I don't even know what model it is, but I love the silhouette of the new LeBrons. I I think those were really cool. And they did the like the Griffey LeBrons. Did you see those where they were coming out with like his inspired from like old Nike shoes? They did like the Deion Sanders. They did a Griffey one. Those are good.
You're losing me because I'm trying to figure out which number I have of the KDs, and it's just not helping.
They
at
were
all.
The orange and they were like the creamsicle. OKC color.
They were the creamsicle, but I don't know which KDs they were. Super comfy. So that's good. Yeah, I think like the two or the three, something like that.
I think realistically what we both learned is that we're probably more high-top basketball shoe guys than low-tops. Both were struggling with our ankles this week. No one cares.
They are the fours.
Are they the fours?
They're the fours.
I'm shocked I knew that. Okay. I'm absolutely stunned I knew that.
So I hope you enjoyed our stroll down memory lane. What else do we got? I'm out. I'm out of my shots. I'm just shooting bricks at the rim at this point.
Well, we're talking basketball.
Uh-oh. That's why I was trying to wrap up. I know exactly where you're going. This is where the chemistry comes in.
Yeah.
Ring it on. That's why I tried to exit. I knew what you had.
This is
That's all we have.
This is all I
hope.
Hope
you stop by again next week.
I just want you to explain to the people. Okay, so the NBA draft's coming up Thursday.
Oh, really?
Mike despises media coverage pre-draft, and I want him to articulate why. Why do you hate it? Why do you hate it, Mike?
I don't hate draft coverage.
Why do you hate hot take journalism?
What a loaded question that is. Nobody knows. So if you were to ask a general manager that's drafting fifth,
yeah,
this dude knows what. Like, it's his job to know exactly what's happening. More than journalists, more than anyone, more than anything, you know, pick for me the first five picks and then the next six picks after that. He's going to have no idea.
Yeah, because it doesn't. Yeah.
He's going to he might be close, but I would guess that he would be the closest. You know, these GM guys, because this is who's going to go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right.
This is the guy that we need to be looking at. For example, look what the Celtics did last year with Danny Ainge. Okay, we think Tatum will be like 3.
The guy we trade down.
That we can kind of predict that. But you don't even know. Who knows? So why is there an intrigue about trying to listen to people guess? That's exactly what it is.
It's just guesswork.
What's going to happen? Because nobody has any idea. You explain to me what the intrigue is there, because I'm just laying out common sense, I feel like.
Oh, no, I listen to it because I like, my favorite thing about it, honestly, is just to see people develop these like content-oriented takes where it's like, nope, all the guys that displayed the better skills, you don't want him.
Well, because we can go through. And maybe we'll do this next week on the bubble.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I want to give you more time on the track.
All we'll do is we'll just do it pre. It'll be one sentence.
Okay.
Who had the best mock draft? And by best, how many did they get?
Well, that's where I'm beginning to not really understand what a mock draft is. Because a lot of it seems to me like people are just like, this is who I would take. And that's not really a mock draft.
And it's not even a mock draft in terms of, they're just ranking players.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all that it
is. Just player ranking.
And they're doing it poorly. Because tell me 5 years from, there are always, when you look at like about 60 or so players that are taken.
Yeah.
There's going to be, we don't have to. I was going to say like 5 or 6 stars. There's going to be one star that's not drafted one.
Oh, yeah.
More often than not, the best player in the draft probably isn't even
not
one.
Not drafted one, yeah.
So you want to show me how smart you are and how great you are? Show me that player. Tell me that Steph Curry is going to be a superstar. Revolutionize the game. Tell me that. And that's impressive. Not that,
right.
Oh, he's going to go 7. Why weren't you saying that he was 1?
Right, if it's based
that's
on like,
what
the
I'm,
best
like,
player.
Don't
yeah.
tell me where they're going to go, because that's just a bunch of like, be really smart in terms of Danny Ainge being like, I'm not saying it just because he's from South Boston or whatever,
right.
But say like, no, actually, Jason Tatum's the best player in the draft, even though Joe Smith in his basement is saying that, you know, Markelle Fultz is the best player of all time. And he very well may be, but I'm just saying, like, show me something.
I will not allow any Markelle Fultz is the best player of all time takes on this podcast.
Show me something that I'm not here. Everyone's just joining themselves and picking around. Okay, here's a list of players that we all agree is like the top 10, and then we'll maybe move like 7 to 6, and that'll be like, oh, yeah. Wow.
Does it say more about the state of sports journalism than that? I'm just like struggling because that's what all basketball content's based.
No, you're right. It's not content, just sports. Right? It's just content. Like, if we can't just wait and see, like if someone, so let's go back to that draft where Steph Curry was drafted by the Golden State Warriors, and someone wrote Steph Curry is going to revolutionize the game with 3-pointers. That would have been the hottest take ever.
Yeah.
People would have like went, what? Like, and he would have been trash and it would have been awful. And now, why can't we just, let's just watch the draft, see what happens. Let's wait a few years. You should have seen me you would have loved me at National Signing Day.
Oh.
Covering National Signing Day.
I don't know. I would have loved that actually.
Because I just sit there and actually I was lucky. This is why you brought this, because we're still going. I've been going on for like 10 minutes now.
It's only at like 6.
Yeah. But Dan Mullen would say, talk to me in 3 years. Thank you. I will gladly talk to you in 3 years about your players.
Right.
Because these guys are going to redshirt. And people just thought that National Signing Day was the biggest, greatest thing since sliced bread. And these players are going to... No. None of them are going to change your team right now. Especially at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
They're three-star, four-star guys, maybe occasionally 5-star. And again, as Dan Mullen said, recruiting, because he was at Florida, recruiting Percy Harvin's easy.
Yeah.
Everyone knows he's good.
Right.
Show me the guy who isn't. Show me Dak Prescott, who was a 2-star, who everyone thought he was going to be a tight end,
right.
And now he's an NFL quarterback. To me...
Like the Baker Mayfield type, yeah.
That's what's interesting, but fans never... I never understood that, where... So Dan Mullen, and I'm going to mention all people who at least were drafted,
right?
That were 3 stars or less: Preston Smith, Dak Prescott, Josh Robinson, Malcolm Johnson, Bernardrick McKinney just signed a $50 million extension. Whoa. With Houston Texans. So those are 5 people that are in the NFL,
right?
Or at least drafted. I'm not sure about Malcolm Johnson, but regardless, I would say to fans, those were 5-star players. It doesn't matter.
Right, because they ended
were 5-star. Who cares what the ranking people say they are?
Right.
They were 5-star people. And then there are some 5-stars that don't make it to the NFL. They weren't 5-stars.
Sure.
So why do we care about the 5th overall? Like, is he? Maybe he is. But we'll find out whether he's going to be the 5th overall in a couple years. Maybe he's the 1st overall.
And find out we will. But in the meantime, Mike, the content machine never stops here. That's why we're churning out podcasts for your enjoyment, making Mike get upset at me for asking him questions.
It worked too. It worked. We're talking about signing day. It worked, and I'm so angry that it did. Did you get everything you want? Are you happy?
I really thought you were just going to give me like a 2-word answer. I honestly did not know we'd go on for like 9 minutes. That was great.
That's why we're friends. I gave you like, I tried to hold back.
You give me more than I asked for.
If you give me a platform about certain things, I can't.
No,
I tried.
All right.
It's for the people.
That's what people love, draft takes. People love content. That's why we're here giving you content. And for Mike Bonner, I am Montana Samuels. And despite us just shouting at you through these microphones, we hope you'll have us back.